Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Steve Brown. T-minus 6 hours until the Orange Line goes silent for the next month.
By shutting down the entire Orange Line, we're able to make major, expansive, and comprehensive repairs on a number of areas.
Shuttle buses are replacing trains, and people are being told not to drive. But for communities impacted by the shutdown, this directive comes with expectations.
They should provide safe, reliable, frequent service that's centered on equity.
Efforts are underway to support riders and businesses.
Hundreds of service providers to small businesses that we're going to be working with on a daily basis throughout this month to make sure that they survive through this shutdown.
But officials want everyone to be realistic.
It will be impossible to avoid chaos altogether.
That's MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak at a news conference, Somerville Mayor Katiana Ballantyne talking with WBUR's Rupa Shenoy, Shagun Iduwu, the Chief Economic Opportunity and Inclusion for Boston, and Boston Mayor Michelle Wu at a news conference yesterday. There's lots to talk about. Here to help us do so is Jim Aloisi, former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation, and Michael Curry, CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers and a member of the NAACP's Board of Directors. Jim, Michael, thanks for coming back today.
Glad
to be
back.
Nice to be here.
Nice to talk with you. Starting tonight at 9 p.m., the Orange Line will shut down for 30 days. We've been warned that this will impact everyone. Here's Boston Mayor Michelle Wu at a news conference yesterday on this.
It will be impossible to avoid chaos altogether. Just the mere fact that this is a time of year when people are coming back to new routines in the fall, going back in person to work, getting started with school, adding this extra layer of disruption and uncertainty will mean that people's lives will be unpredictable, especially for the first few days as we're all trying to sort out what the schedules are, what the options are.
Let me ask both of you, and we'll start with Jim. Are we heading into 30 days or more of chaos?
Well, I hope not. I suspect that because this is going to begin at a time when many people might still be enjoying some summer time off, that the real crunch is going to hit after Labor Day. And I worry a lot about that. I do know that the city has stepped up in a significant way, in a very impressive way, to do as much as it can do. Of course, the city has no power over the T or what the T decides to do. But the mayor and her chief of streets and their team are doing as strong of a job as they can to bring some order to the expected chaos. But I'm hoping and expecting that at least during the rest of August, it won't be quite as bad as people think, but we need to be prepared for the worst. And if we prepare for the worst, then it's not as bad as we think. That'll be a good way to then be prepared for what will inevitably be a pretty bad experience, I predict, after Labor Day.
Okay. Michael, are you expecting chaos ahead?
Yeah, I think credit to the mayor, and I think it is right. The city's trying to mitigate some of the impacts of this disruption. It will have a tremendous impact on seniors, on students, on folks, workers. Even myself as a CEO, my staff are telling me, you know, we need to work remotely over the next work month, because this is a challenge for us to get in and out of the office. So I think, you know, I think about our system, 1.2 million trips writ large across our system before COVID daily. We have a pretty significant system, and this is just a major crack in our service. I was thinking about this morning, our conversation, and there's a phrase I always hold tight to, is pay now or pay greater later. And the reality is, if we don't do this now and try to deal with some of the infrastructure challenges within our system, we'll see more train breakdowns, potentially even more deaths and more disruption. So I think, you know, there's an investment that we're making over the next month.
Was all this avoidable, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back with several leaders within MBTA, MassDOT, who've been warning of the impending doom that if we don't invest, we're going to see disruptions. We had the commuter rail disruptions over the last decade or so. So I think one is about prioritization. And I think we're now realizing that if we do not do this and we do not put that money up front, we're all paying for it, no matter whether you take the trains or not, because our roads will be even more crowded when our train systems are down. So I'm worried about the community's
We lost Michael there for a moment. I think Michael did take up on the suggestion to get out of town. He's on vacation near the water, and that's why we're hearing all that wind. Jim, Jim, you're in an office somewhere. You're not at a beach, neither am I. So let's continue. I want to talk about logistics for a bit right now. Free shuttle buses are replacing Orange Line trains. Riders are encouraged to take the Green Line, Commuter Rail, Silver Line, the stop added in Chinatown. We asked our subtext group about the shutdown, and if you want to join in on that, you can start by texting Boston to 617-766-0382. Here are a few of their responses. Carly of Melrose says, I'll be taking the commuter rail from Melrose to Boston. I'm concerned that my company hasn't addressed potential delays, and I'm very concerned that this will last much longer than 1 month. Stephen of Arlington says, our offices in the Back Bay are open, and we're expected to be there 3 days a week. Now it'll be a nightmare, as the Red Line is already unreliable, and all traffic is now directed to the Green Line from Park Street. So, Jim, is this enough? Anything more that they can do?
I think they could do more advising people, frankly, to do alternative choices like take commuter rail. I know they've talked about it, but I actually think commuter rail is probably, for many people, one of the best alternative choices, better if they can get on commuter rail than a shuttle bus. And what the T really ought to do is promote and provide more frequent commuter rail service during the day during the shutdown. I need to just say one thing to you too, and to the listeners, which is, I think any messaging that's encouraging people not to come into the city is bad messaging. Look, we have populations who work in the city who depend on the kind of commerce that we're trying to now say don't come in. The folks who work in restaurants, the folks who work in coffee shops and sandwich shops, they need to make a living too. And so I think people should be encouraged not to drive into the city, but to take more commuter rail and to figure out ways to come in and be as routine and normal as you can be under the circumstances. We don't need more driving right now. We need more people on commuter rail. And I think that they'll be happy with the kind of service that they'll find on commuter rail. It won't be optimal, but it will be one of the better ways to get in and out of the city.
Okay, I'd like to bring in another voice here. Dan McNichol is an infrastructure advocate and former chief spokesperson for the Big Dig. Dan, it's nice to have you back.
Well, thank you for having me back.
So we were talking about impending chaos. What's your take of what's going to be going on with the Orange Line shut down for a month?
Well, I agree with Jim. It's just a shame to hear, don't come into the city. Don't do what you'd probably like to do and been waiting to do for a long time. I truly believe, though, this is epic. This is in the category of the 1978 blizzard. This is in the category of the Big Dig ceiling collapse that shut down all the interstates around the Boston area. And it's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. The Transit Authority themselves, the MBTA, is calling this a transit emergency. So I think you get the sense that this is as big as it gets, or you hope it's as big as it gets.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the troubles on the MBTA with Dan McNichol, a former spokesman for the Big Dig, also Jim Aloisi, former transportation secretary, and Michael Curry, president of the Mass League of Community Health Centers, and with the NAACP. Michael is back. I hope you're enjoying your time away there, and glad that you're joining us today from someplace exotic, I hope. Is part of this chaos, Michael, self-induced by the MBTA? Will riders get left behind, literally?
Yeah, it's so funny. I always try to put in the context of the rest of the country. We know we have infrastructure needs across, whether it's roads, bridges, our transportation systems. We've underinvested in those systems. 38-year-old tracks that need to be replaced. I think it's some
Yeah, Michael, we're still having some troubles there. I guess the wind is blowing pretty good where you're at. I'd like to switch gears and talk about the timeline. This Orange Line shutdown is expected for 30 days. The Green Line is going to be for another 30 days. Here's MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak at the Q&A session with the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce yesterday morning on why this type of shutdown is needed.
The difference between a shutdown of this magnitude, 30 days of 24-hour complete unencumbered access to the Orange Line, is much different than doing work on the overnight, where after the service has ended and you've shut everything down and you've set up your workplace, you might only have an hour or two of productive work time. Here, we're going to have 24 hours a day for 30 days, and it's going to allow us to accomplish the same amount of work that we would accomplish in 5 years of weekend and nighttime diversion. So it's a way to get a lot of work done.
So service is going to be ceased on the Orange Line tonight at 9 o'clock. Service is slowed and delayed on the best days without a shutdown. I'm wondering, can the MBTA step up even if they wanted to? Jim, do you think they could?
When you say step up, what are you asking?
I guess to step up to get people where they're going when service is slowed down and delayed on the best days without the shutdown.
There's a middle ground that the T, in my judgment, might have taken a closer look at, which is you could have shut the system down every day, say at 8 p.m., and then reopened it in the morning, and you would have had longer windows of time to do this work without a complete shutdown. The complete shutdown is a pretty drastic step, but there are other ways to do it. Maybe in the future we'll take those alternatives instead. I think this is showing to people two things. One, the critical need to invest urgently in an aging transit system that's been underinvested in for decades. And two, I hope this will show everybody who drives that their interest as drivers is also supported by a highly functioning transit system. If we do not have a highly functioning transit system, that doesn't just hurt transit riders. That doesn't just hurt the economy and air quality. It hurts drivers. And we're going to have that shown in high relief during the shutdown. And so it's in everybody's interest to ask their elected legislators and the new governor, whoever that will be, to take a new direction and to make sure that in the future, we're building a better transit system that is going to support everyone equitably and sustainably over the next couple of decades. And we just need to commit to doing that.
The news of the shutdown was only announced 3 or 4 weeks ago, not that long ago. And we know that the feds, the FTA, has been looking at the operations of the MBTA in light of some of the accidents, a fatal accident. The fact that the feds are here kind of looking over the shoulder, let me direct this to you, Dan. The fact that the feds are here looking over the T's shoulder, did that force their hand to do this?
My belief is absolutely. This is a federal action, really. And I think we're going to learn more about it, but it's pretty obvious when you look, and I think DUR has an excellent timeline online showing that there's been failure system-wide. This is systemic. Every single line, the red line, the orange line, the green line, the blue line, the purple line, the commuter rails, have all had major problems in the last month, 2 months, year, certainly. And the FTA really stepped in April and said, enough. And this is the second time they've ever done this. So it's massive. It's significant. So I think what we're going to find out is that the system's in even worse shape than maybe we thought.
Are you optimistic that the 30 days that they'll be able to get all this work done and in a month that we'll have a wonderful Orange Line?
Yeah, 3,800 feet of track at the Wellington stop, new signals and tracks and concrete work and taking down a sound wall and tearing down a parking garage. All can all be accelerated if not completed in that time. But it's the transit death spiral, and that's not an understatement. I mean, we just got destroyed by the pandemic in a transit situation, 90% drop off in New York, San Francisco. And you're seeing, I think, the repercussions of as Jim was saying so eloquently, decades of neglect. But like everything that COVID hit, it really hit on the weaknesses so strongly in our culture, our society, and it has pummeled mass transit, which was already on its knees or already kind of weakened before the plague, and now it's playing out. This, we're not maybe going to go into a death spiral. This is what you call a transit death spiral.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to bring in two more voices now. Mella Bush-Miles is director of the Transit-Oriented Development and the T-Riders Union at Alternatives for Environment and Community. And Jared Johnson is the CEO and development director with the group Transit Matters. Mela, Jared, welcome back.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for having us. Hello.
Mela, I'd like to focus here on impact. What does this mean, the shutdown mean for MBTA riders? And what are you hearing from them ahead of the shutdown?
We've been collecting stories, and there's a lot of trepidation and fear. People saying that they won't be able to get to where they're going. They can't visit their family. A senior said she's purchased her monthly pass, and now does she get a rebate? Other people are, what we're really concerned about is the students, because school starts for a specific school that I'm aware of in Reedville, that it starts on 29th of August. It's not after Labor Day. And there are many other schools that actually start classes before that. Mm-hmm. So the parents are very concerned, because there hasn't been anything done to mitigate the harm to the students from middle school on up. So they won't be able to connect where they're going. We have Bunker Hill on the Orange Line. Those are college students. Other students who can't get to UMass Boston because there's no Orange Line. So these are serious concerns, because what happens if you're late? Well, you can't get there at all. It's going to impact their education right at the end of this whole pandemic situation.
Yeah. As we've talked about, commuters are being asked not to drive, to work from home if they can. Still, officials warn this will impact everyone, regardless of whether you're commuting in. Here's Boston Mayor Michelle Wu at a news conference yesterday.
Please ensure that you're not penalizing any of your workforce for coming in late or not being able to make it on time, because this will impact every single commuter. That your commute will be affected in some way, even if not directly on the Orange Line.
Jared, can you talk about the impact that this will have on communities of color, lower income communities, and the like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, these are communities that, you know, already had, you know, some of the longest travel times, and so this is going to increase those travel times even more. You know, and one of the things that you know, we've been really concerned about, and we're still waiting to hear this from the T, is to have fare relief for, you know, we've been saying that the T should make the entire system free during this diversion, because there are bus riders who take the bus to the Orange Line. And so now they're going to be in the position to pay full fare on their bus to then transfer to a shuttle, you know, that's going to be a slower ride. And so, you know, that's one of the, you know, that's an area that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the travel times and that impact, but I don't think there's been as much talk about the fact that we're going to have some people, including, I think, disproportionately lower income people who live further away from transit, who live further away from the Orange Line, who, again, are still going to have to pay a full bus fare and then in order to get onto the shuttles. So that's one of the things that we're really focused on.
Mm-hmm. This will have an impact on businesses. Here's Shagun Iduwu, the Chief of Economic Opportunity and Inclusion for Boston, talking to WBUR reporter Simone Rios yesterday.
Hundreds of service providers to small businesses that we're going to be working with on a daily basis throughout this month to provide additional resources, whether it's technical assistance, marketing, and all other types of services to make sure that they survive through this shutdown.
Mela, have you been talking with or hearing from small businesses in that will be affected by this? And what are they telling you?
Well, if you can't get to downtown Boston, then you are not going to benefit from the customers. Here's an example of something that happens on the weekends. Haymarket, a bunch of, you know, fruit and produce dealers and small businesses in that area, they're not going to be able to get there in any way. the orange line, and then 2 days later, the green line is going to shut down. So what happens in this area, as well as the folks who are actually along the orange line and within our communities, because people come on the train to get to small businesses in our communities. And, they expect a drop in revenue. And you can't take anymore. There's already businesses here in Nubian Square that don't open on Monday and often close at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. because of this. And so this is going to cause more harm to them.
Do you think some of these businesses might be put out of business because of this?
Well, we have a bunch of open commercial spots right now in Nubian Square that went under during the pandemic. You can't take another hit. Mm-hmm. This is, their employees have to get to work. How are they going to get there? And when someone says, oh, you should work from home, we have proven through the entire pandemic that people have to go to work. They've been transit dependent all of this time. We had to even ask the MBTA to add more buses on because they didn't realize that our essential workers mm-hmm. who have to go and open the Sweetgreens and all of the other places downtown, how are they going to get there? How are they going to get home after 9 o'clock tonight?
Right.
There's a big question. Why shut it down at 9 o'clock when people have to go home from the hotels and the businesses and the restaurants and everything? How are they going to get home?
Yeah, the T runs till 1 o'clock in the morning most nights. That would make sense. Shut it down at 1 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock. I don't know why they're
it's
not
bizarre.
Doing that.
I called it Harmageddon. I said, how can you harm us? How many ways? Let me count the ways. This is the MBTA Harmageddon. This is going to harm everyone, and especially the bus riders who we know that the Yankee Bus Company, what people do on the buses, they bring their trolleys, their little strollers and their shopping carts and everything. Where are they going to put that on a Yankee bus?
Mm-hmm.
It can't get up there. What about the baby strollers? And what about the wheelchairs? It's not accessible.
They're not city buses. They're more like interstate coaches. Jared, what are your thoughts on how this is going to affect business here in Boston and businesses along the Orange Line?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to have a huge impact. I mean, as Mella was saying, it's not only going to make it difficult for the vendors, for the employees to get there, but it's, likely going to depress the demand, from customers, right? I think customers are going to, are not going to want to get out there. So I am hopeful that the city's interventions are going to help. And I think it is going to take a campaign, similar to what Jim was saying, which is to make sure that we're really parsing that message of don't drive, but don't have that be a message of don't come in, right? To encourage people, to use the commuter rail if that's an option, that works for them. I know it's not something that everyone can do in all abilities, but for those who can bike, the fact that the city has made blue bikes free, I think, can help encourage people to say yes, to go, go to that restaurant. And to really, like I said, to encourage people to still visit the city, and just sort of, and I hope that folks are just having more patience.
Sure. A lot of folks, made it a point to get out to local businesses back during the pandemic when they could do so safely to keep those businesses afloat. And I guess we have to revisit that again. We've been
Absolutely.
Talking with Jared Johnson, the CEO and development director with the group Transit Matters, and also Mella Bush Miles, the director of transit oriented development and the T's Riders Union at Alternatives for Environment and Community. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Still with us, Jim Aloisi, the former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation, and Dan McNichol, the former spokesman for the Big Dig. Just looking ahead, I'd like to end by looking ahead for a few minutes. This week, a report from the Mass Taxpayers Foundation said the MBTA is in full-blown crisis. It recommended the T focus on physical infrastructure, financial footing, and organizational structure. Is this boiling the ocean, Jim?
Well, look, And the MBTA needs a lot of attention, and it's getting some now. What we really need to do is to think about how we're going to get the legislature and the next governor to think and act differently about their obligation to provide the funding and the resources and the governance structure that's going to take the T from where it is today to a place where we're all happy, where it's a high-functioning system. That will take some time. It's going to take some effort, and it's going to take some money. The T needs significant new stable revenue sources for its operating budget, its day-to-day budget. The legislature needs to step up and act. The Governor Baker said he would propose a solution. We're still waiting for that solution to be proposed. So my message to people is, do what I do. I'm a T rider. We're going to have to bear with it during the rest of the year and do the best we can. And we need to support and encourage the new leadership that's coming into office in January, both legislative and gubernatorial, to take a different direction here, because our economy is at stake, our ability to build an equitable and sustainable society is at stake. And I think this shutdown may be the one thing that's going to show people exactly how awful a situation it is when you don't have a high functioning transit system. My final message is, please don't avoid the city. Take commuter rail if you can. Commuter rail is free from zone 2 in, and it'll be a good option for many people, and I encourage them to take it.
The fact that there is going to be a change of administration as of the beginning of January, Charlie Baker is stepping away from after two terms. Does that complicate things here? Let's face it, I would assume that the transportation secretary and maybe even the general manager of the MBTA only have a few months left on their gigs.
It does. And it's going to be, frankly, a challenge for the new governor to attract the kind of high quality talent that we need to attract to get the job done. But that's why the legislature needs to be a partner in this and show that it's prepared to put the resources on the table that a new person at the helm of the agency would be able to use in order to correct this thing. And so, you know, there are a lot of folks who need to play a role in this. And I think the general public needs to play its role in understanding the importance of transit and in making sure that their legislators and the next governor know that the people have their back and the people want them to step up investment in this system, right? Okay. I think that's the message.
Yeah. I want to ask Dan a final word. We got about a minute left here. What advice would you be giving to the incoming administration here, new administration, whoever you are? Here's the MBTA. What do you do with it?
New beginnings. We've hit bottom. Let's rebuild. And let's use this crisis to, like, as Jim said, put the efforts into the gubernatorial, legislative, state senators, you know, selectmen, city councilors, hell, the PTA, healthcare, all these groups need to really hammer this home, because Jan Oliva, the chair of the MTA in New York, just recently said, transit for us in New York City and the region is like air and water. We cannot exist without it. And I'm concerned that I'm hearing from the MBTA, we've reserved the right to shut down future lines. We've really got to pull out of this spiral. And I think everybody is rooting for the MBTA, like pre-World Series Red Sox in the early 2000s. This is that moment. We're all rooting for the MBTA. We need it. It's a remarkable storied system.
It's going to be a wild weekend, I guess. And Monday, who knows what's going to happen. If you want more information about the shutdown, you can visit our website at wbur.org. Dan McNichol and Jim Aloisi, thanks for joining us today and giving us your insight.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Thank you.